Like a concerned parent trying to get fighting siblings to just get along, the United States Department of Agriculture has commissioned a study group to determine how biotech and organic agricultures could just get along. This Rodney King effort leads us to ask, can GMOs and organics just get along?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 799th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Firenze who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Ricochet in at the controls here at Broadcast Central. Hello, Rick.
Good day, Michael.
Folks, as the Californians who were just bombarded with over $50 million of Proposition 37 ads discovered, there are two agricultures that simply are not getting along. One is biotech with its genetically modified organisms, or GMOs. The other is organic with its government-guaranteed certification of cleanliness. A probable reason for these two different agricultures not getting along is that each represents a different way of going about feeding the world. Now, there is, in fact, a legal wall that separates the two agricultures. This legal wall prohibits organic foods from containing genetically modified organisms. However, there is no physical wall that can prevent organic crops from being contaminated by GMOs, and thus one can no longer find organic canola growing in the nation of Canada because the country's entire canola crop has been contaminated with GMOs. To determine how to get these disparate agricultures to just get along, USDA commissioned an advisory group called AC21, consisting of stakeholders from both factions. After considering the problem for some time, AC21 returned a recommendation to USDA. To hear that recommendation, stay tuned as we ask, can biotech's GMOs just get along with organic farms? Well, here to help us guide the discussion today, we have very distinguished guests. We have Leanna Hoods, who is with the National Organic Coalition. Leanna, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you, Michael.
Pleasure to have you aboard. We're also looking for Laura Baccia from the Organic Trade Association, and we're trying to connect with her now, but not having much luck. So, Leanna, it's you and me.
All right.
So we can do this pretty good, though. Leanna, first of all, what is the National Organic Coalition?
We're a national alliance of organizations representing farmers, environmentalists, consumers, and other organic industry members concerned about the integrity of the national organic standards and working towards organic food and agriculture in the United States. The goal of our coalition is to assure that organic integrity is maintained, that consumers' confidence is preserved, and that policies are fair, equitable, and encourage diversity of participation and access.
Good enough. Now, we always like to ask who pays the way.
Our 13 members pay the way. These are groups such as Beyond Pesticides, Center for Food Safety, Equal Exchange, the Northeast Organic Dairy Producers Alliance, the Northeast Organic Farming Association, Midwest Organic Sustainable and Educational Services, the National Cooperative Grocers Association, the Rural Advancement Foundation International, Maine Organic Farmers, Union of Concerned Scientists,
wow.
Food and Water Watch.
So organic. You're essentially then a whole bunch of organic organizations that have kind of banded together to keep watch over the integrity of the word organic.
Yes, indeed. And we work on federal policy regarding that. So we work in Washington and we work at the advocating to the agency and to Congress.
Well, Reuters presented you as a critic of AC21, so I guess that'll be the side you represent today. Not with us today is Laura Baccia, who was going to talk us about sitting on the AC21 panel. Nor with us today is a representative from USDA. I think they got shy today. That must have been what happened. But you out there are invited to participate. The phone numbers today, 800-624-2665 and or 831-479-1080. The question that we're putting on the table today is, can these two disparate forms of agriculture just get along? We're talking about the high technology of biotech agriculture and their GMOs, and we're talking about organic farmers and their government-certified cleanliness, and can these two just get along? First of all, Leanne, I'd like to start with what is the fundamental difference between these two agricultures? How would you characterize that?
Organic agriculture essentially works with nature and natural systems, and it's a systems approach, meaning that it's not about one shotgun fix to any particular problem. It's about building a natural system to grow food and agriculture, which would make it diametrically opposed to doing things that were not in tune with nature. So we also, in organic, look to the precautionary principle before allowing materials, et cetera, that are maybe synthetic to be used in organic. And specifically, we in organic do not allow the use of genetically modified organisms or substances that were used, GMOs, to be made.
So it would be fair to say that organics really is a way of amplifying natural processes?
Yeah, to the extent that agriculture is actually not a natural system entirely, but yes, using natural systems and nature to grow food is what organic is about.
Well, I know it's probably really hard to, you know, having been watched really closely the Proposition 37 wars out here in California, where industry spent huge sums of money to convince Californians to vote against their right to know about GMOs in their food. I've come to realize that a lot of people really don't have the slightest idea what anybody's talking about here. So I was thinking perhaps maybe a simplified version of what we're talking about would help. And I'll throw one out, and perhaps you could correct me if I'm wrong. Let's say I have a patch of sweet corn in my garden that I have been working with for a number of years, and it's the sweetest sweet corn in the world, and I'm very proud of it. And the neighbor across the ricochet here, the engineer, has a stand of sweet corn that has been genetically engineered to kill bugs. Rick's a bugophobe, so he can't stand having bugs in his garden, so he plants this this genetically modified corn that contains Bacillus thuringiensis, and then whenever a bug eats the corn, the bug dies. Now, the problem is my sweet corn's organic and his is not. And so there's kind of this legal wall that says if my sweet corn is to stay organic, it can't be contaminated with Rick's genetically engineered corn. But there's no physical wall that can really prevent this from happening. And thus, I'm probably going to end up with Rick's genetically engineered genes in my sweet corn. Is that about what we're talking about? Is that a fair...
Yes. Pollen travels, and the genes can intermingle. Yes.
So thus we have this problem, this conflict in agriculture. Then, and that was what AC21 was set up to deal with. Now, I want to ask at organic agriculture, and as you represent a number of different organic organizations, I would like to ask you the question. You lost the election here in California. Why keep fighting?
Well, first of all, the vote on this one was pretty close, and each time there are state initiatives for labeling, they seem to be closer and closer with more and more interest by consumers into labeling. Labeling is a right. We have a right to know what's in our food. And just because we lose, and let me say, this is what the National Organic Coalition does day after day, is fight the policy fights to advance organic as the way that we eat, grow and eat our food. And we're not winning all the time. We have to keep at it. And it is closer and closer each time. There are about 20 states right now that are looking to have their own labeling initiatives. So this was just because we lost didn't mean that it wasn't successful in getting awareness by citizens. And people are believing in their right to know increasingly. And that's what the labeling part is about. That's only a part of the story, but labeling's about your right to know, and there's a lot of interest.
And then this is a continuation of the fight over the right to know. And the fight centers on the recommendations of a USDA-sponsored group called AC21, who had recommendations for USDA on how organic and GMO agriculture could coexist. When we get back, we're going to go to the AC21 committee and ask the big question, can we get along? This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson right back. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Join us.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city. You can be old or young, rich or poor, married or single. You can rent, lease, or own. You can farm small fruits on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, flowers on steep wooded hillsides, vegetables in city green belts, ornamentals in neighborhoods of million-dollar homes. There's only one catch. You must compete with other farmers for the consumer dollars. You can compete with others and win the consumer dollars with the help of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for profit in or near the city. MetroFarm is the Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner that will guide you step by step through the planning and development of your very own income-generating metropolitan farm. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living on a small parcel of land. Get in on the future today. Get a copy of MetroFarm at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back out there. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. This morning we're talking about what happens when organic agriculture meets genetically modified agriculture. Can the two exist? Can we just happily get along? Haven't been able to do so up to this date, but the USDA says, now children, you must get along. And so they put together a group called AC21 and sent them to the jury room and said, figure out a way of getting along. So we have today with us to help discuss the situation, Leanna Hoods, who's the National Organic Coalition, and not with us today is anybody from USDA. They're feeling particularly shy today, so they're hiding out. Leanna, what exactly does AC21 stand for anyway?
caught me there.
I saw AC21. I said, it must be an acronym for something, but nobody knows what it is, right?
It's the Committee on Biotechnology in the 21st Century. I guess it's Agricultural Committee for Biotechnology in the 21st Century, so that I believe that's it.
That's a good guess. I'll go along with that. AC21. So it's a committee. It was kind of like a jury or something that a judge says, okay, now you guys go sit in a room and figure out how to get along, right?
The USDA has these advisory committees from time to time, given charges to investigate a particular area of concern. They are given a specific charge, whether or not that charge can be answered or not. And I think that was one of the problems that we saw in this case.
Well, what was the charge given AC21 by USDA?
There were three. The first one is what types of compensation mechanisms would be appropriate to address economic losses by farmers in which the value of their crops is reduced by unintended presence of genetically engineered materials.
Which would be Ricochet's GE corn comes in and turns my sweet corn into GE corn, and that would be what does Rick owe me then, right?
Not necessarily. It's what type of compensation mechanism. So it could be that Rick owes you something. It could be that somebody else owes you something. Potentially Rick is not necessarily in control of the negative effects of that pollen. What pollen of from corn has always traveled.
Right.
So it so conventional corn that's not genetically engineered also moves, as does organic corn pollen.
Uh-oh, this is really getting complicated.
Right. So the issues actually, you know, are very complicated. So looking at compensation mechanisms before you discuss the complicated background or what it is that's contaminated and how who's responsible is what we see as one of the problems with this, the charge to the committee.
What were the other two?
The other charges were what would be necessary to implement such mechanisms, what type of information would you need, and what are some triggers. And the third is what other actions would be appropriate to bolster or facilitate coexistence among different agricultural production systems in the United States. So, and they were asked to address the first two in detail and then the third one.
Mm-hmm. And who made up this committee? Was it all? It wasn't all one side. It was stakeholders from both sides, correct?
Indeed. This secretary, I think there are about 20 members on the committee, and they come from research. They there are farmers who are both organic farmers and conventional farmers, I believe, who farm not necessarily genetic engineering, using genetic engineering. In fact, some representatives of other identity-preserved markets were there as well, and some folks from different industries around agriculture, seed industries, et cetera.
Hmm. So you have a bunch of these people sitting in a room, and the USDA says, okay, how are we going to get along? And you have these three things to address. But that sounds like something that would be fairly difficult because they've never been able to figure out how to get along up to this time, right?
Well, I'd say that the problem is that that's not the question to ask about, is how do we get along before you've addressed
the other things
of how about contamination prevention. Without any discussion of coexistence must include a discussion of, you know, shared commitment and responsibility and some sort of parity, and also must include who is the responsible parties. And the problem with this report is that this committee was only charged with the compensation mechanism, and it doesn't, and as the organic members of this committee noted in their comments, excellent comments from Laura Batcha from OTA and the other six members who were the organic representatives, outlined in the discussion part of the report their issues with the way that this was framed. And it was framed by the secretary, unfortunately, to not discuss those very important questions about responsibility.
Oh, okay. So the jury's instructions said, don't figure out who's guilty.
That's right. And it,
So it made a
dynamic about getting along and potentially farmers getting along with farmers, but that doesn't address who actually is responsible in this situation. And the responsible parties that are left out of this are the USDA for it not investigating the impacts that genetic engineering causes and not regulating properly, and of course the owners of the technologies who can, even when Ricochet plants that genetic engineered corn, he doesn't own it, and it is he is only renting it from the patent holders and the technology owners, and they get a free pass and full immunity, as Dr. Benbrook, a member of the AC21, noted.
So then it really doesn't even address cause and effect.
Not whatsoever. And that is the problem. When we have these discussions about getting along, there needs to be some balance to the discussion, and there needs to be information. What are the impacts that would be able to be compensated? Impacts to, we don't even know the health impacts, for instance, the health to humans, the health to the soil, or anything else, because these have not been studied. USDA has not required independent, long-term health and environmental studies about the impacts of genetically engineered genetically modified organisms on the environment. And
well, even on a much more simple level, though, if Ricochet's GE corn contaminates my organic corn, my organic corn is no longer organic corn, right?
That's true. And so, but you not only may lose your ability to sell on the organic market, since it is no longer organic, you may lose future generations of being able to. We also don't know what has happened to the soil biology from compounds that are in those plants. So it may be a very systemic, long-term impact to you. So if we're talking about compensation, we need to know that.
Well, one of the things we learned in the great fight over Proposition 37 is that there really is no efficacy studies with respect to the safety of GMOs conducted by anyone other than the people who sell those GMOs. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we don't even know whether those are true efficacy, you know, whether those studies are any good.
So then we really don't know. So here's what we have then, as I read your comments. We have the USDA telling agriculture that it must figure out how to get along, but it's not addressing in any way, shape, or form. The AC21 committee is not addressing the fault of contamination. It's not addressing it in any way, shape, or form then.
That's right. It does not address it, and it does not have any incentives or recommendations for prevention or containment.
So how do we get along then? Folks, this is The Food Chain, Michael Olson. Today we're talking about just getting along between organic agriculture and biotech agriculture. Do stay tuned. You can join us if you wish. 831-479-1980 and 800-624-2665. Well, like a concerned parent trying to get fighting siblings to just get along, the United States Department of Agriculture has commissioned a study group to determine how biotech and organic agricultures could just get along. This Rodney King effort leads us to ask today, can GMOs and organics just get along? Here to help us figure this out, we have Leanna Hoods, who is the with the National Organic Coalition. Leanna, can they get along? What do you think?
I think there needs to be a discussion with the full parties involved before we can figure that out. There should be no reason that we can't have some shared responsibility rather than organic taking responsibility, but the discussion has not even ever happened to know whether that can be where we all get along. It's amazing that we can continue to put the responsibility on the farmers, all types of farmers, and it's not just organic. Organic farmers are required to do prevention, contamination prevention techniques, but all farmers are at risk here as more and more different traits come out, genetically engineered traits. It is the technology owner that must own up to responsibility to the promiscuous nature of their product.
Well, if we look at Canada and canola, which is rapeseed, the number two valued crop in Canada, the genetically modified crops have really insinuated their genes in all of the rapeseed in Canada. I don't think you can find organic canola in Canada anymore. So in effect, the patent holder on those genetically modified strains of canola now own the entire crop of Canada. Is that wrong?
Clearly, that is wrong, and that is the problem that could happen to more crops if there isn't attention paid. And there is at USDA the authority to stop that from continuing. There's a lot of authority given under USDA under the Plant Protection Authority to evaluate risks and evaluate contamination and control it before it happens in other crops. Where we have contamination in 4, 5, or 6 maybe crops, but it must be the responsibility of our government to stop this now and contain it and to work at contamination prevention.
So the AC21 committee or group that was formed by USDA to get these two disparate agricultures to work together did not address prevention at all, did they?
They did not in the final report, but in the comments that were amended to the report, all of the 7 organic members of the AC21 addressed the fact that that had to be discussed. So it was definitely discussed during their deliberations. It just was not included in the report, and it's really an eye-opener to read these detailed evaluation of how the conversations went.
Yeah, so you have to go. You can't just read the report. You have to go back to the notes on the report to see what really happened. And
appended to the report are all the comments from the AC21 members.
Good enough. Now, what the committee did do was they looked at compensation and how to employ such a system, and then other actions that might be taken. So let's talk about compensation. If Ricochet's genetically modified corn contaminates my corn, how much does he have to pay me?
I think I noted before, I mean, it could just be the difference between what the organic price that you would get on the marketplace and the conventional price, except that we don't know what the rest of the impacts are. So
we don't know the environmental impacts of having that contamination.
And how many years down the road you can't grow organic corn. Is it a persistent problem for you, and that the contamination continues after the first year?
It's kind of like the Canadian canola. It's there, and there's no way of getting it out now.
Indeed. We need to evaluate how deep it goes, and we don't know. There's health studies about what some of the compounds in the genetically modified crops do to the stomachs of animals. And we're seeing studies coming out of Europe about this. We even don't know about the health effects.
Right. Well, and we see a number of studies, and when a study comes out, everybody that is on the other side say it's a bad study, so don't pay any attention to the studies that don't agree with me.
Indeed, and that's when it is the responsibility of our government to make sure that there are independent, long-term health studies when there are these questions.
Then let's look at some of the recommendations AC21 did come up with in its final report. First of all, of course, it says that all farmers should be free to grow kind of what they want when they want it, right?
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ricochet can grow whatever kind of corn he wants. If he wants to grow the genetically modified corn that kills all the bugs, that he can do that.
That's right. The genetic contamination issue is sometimes easier looked at. If Rick had a bull and you had a cow, and his bull wandered onto your farm and inseminated your cow, then is it his? And the genetics of it were not what you had planned to do with your cow. Whose responsibility is that? And this trespass, and indeed he would have to make you whole financially because of that. Mm-hmm. And that is the same. But we also know that there are techniques that may work somewhat to keep the flow from not happening. There are buffer strips. There are planting timing differences. Those sort of techniques are what organic farmers use, but why aren't all farmers using it so that the responsibility is shared by both parties?
Well, now, does AC recommend that the responsibility be shared in preventing contamination?
They talk about about agreements between farmers. And but we really strongly feel this is not a farmer versus farmer thing. What they don't do is talk about the shared responsibility of the technology users and the providers and their ability to promote different techniques of growing.
But with all due respect, it's really not in their interest to control that, is it? I mean, I just think of
right. That's exactly right. If there was a base level of contamination, they would be happy because we could never say there was zero. And that's where part of the problem lies when you don't have that conversation and get that out in the open.
So if everything is contaminated, there's no reason to complain because it's all messed up. And there it is. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Mike Lolson. Can organic agriculture and biotech agriculture, GMOs, can they just get along? Is it possible to keep them separate? Is there a way of keeping GMO out of organics? Is it possible? What on earth could we do to make that happen? This is The Food Chain. You're invited to join us. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, it all seems to come down to who is responsible. This quoted in the Reuters article, a statement by the National Organic Coalition, and we have Linda Hoots with us today, who's from that coalition. And they say, of particular concern in the AC21 report to USDA is the recommendation that organic and non-GE conventional farmers pay to insure themselves against unwanted GE contamination. This recommendation would seem to suggest that USDA and the technology owners abdicate responsibility and let the individual farmers fight it out. Ricochet and Michael Olson would have it out over their sweet corn contamination. Is that the way of it?
I think that it would just be that the you as an organic or a farmer or a farmer who just doesn't want to grow GE would have to take out an insurance policy. And then if you were contaminated, you would just make a claim on your insurance policy.
Wait a minute. So I have to self-insure for something that Ricochet wants to do?
That's it. That's what they're proposing. And that is the absolute wrong way to go.
Well, shouldn't it be the technology? Shouldn't the onus be on the contaminator?
Exactly. This crop insurance is making the polluter pay, polluted pay, and we want to see the polluter pay. Ricochet doesn't own that technology. The owner of the technology knows that it will get into everyone else's yard, and they should be the one to make sure that there is some sort
right.
of compensation fund for damages.
So what the organic community is suggesting then is that this should not be a war between farmers.
Absolutely.
On contamination.
This is not farmers against farmers. In fact, there is a lot of evidence that farmers who are growing genetically engineered crops, especially in corn and soy, don't have a lot of options in varieties that are not genetically engineered anymore. Our seed research has really narrowed, and there's virtually the best crops with the best traits are the genetically engineered crops, and it's hard for our farmers out there to find those different varieties, and especially when they're not organic and getting that do it in a whole different system and looking at locally adapted seeds. They're looking to their seed dealer, and this is what they get.
Let's talk for a moment about why that is. Why are seed companies not exploring and looking for better non-GE types of seeds? Why is that?
Well, the seed companies are mostly owned by the large big firms that also sell the herbicides, And that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is the amount of research dollars at in USDA that go to various types of seed research. There's very, very little going to conventional, non-genetically engineered seed research. There's, in fact, the amount of money going to organic research altogether at USDA approaches something like 3% of all the USDA dollars. Most of those dollars in seed research goes to genetic engineering, and that's the problem.
And thus your comment earlier starts to make sense. If Ricochet's genetically engineered corn contaminates mine, I might have trouble finding seed corn again.
Indeed. Absolutely. And we are, the National Organic Coalition works very hard advocating for more research dollars to go to conventional seed research and on locally adapted varieties.
How on earth would USDA go about employing such a system in which Ricochet and Michael Olson must ensure themselves against genetic contamination?
You mean in the crop insurance situation?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's actually it's difficult because crop insurance, I think, by law at this point would is about weather conditions and non-man-made emergencies. They would probably have to change the law on that to get a crop insurance product. And then the rest of it, I don't know. It's up to it's something beyond what I understand about actuarial evaluations of risk. But this is not your typical crop insurance product.
There you go. So what other recommendations did the committee make, did AC21 make to USDA?
Well, they did talk about whether a compensation fund would be useful, and that would be someone a different type of thing than crop insurance. But some of the best recommendations were about the USDA ramping up their investigation of seed purity and doing some studies and working with the seed industry, both conventional, non-GE, and GE, about what the state of seed is and helping to come up with ideas on how to keep the seed pure. Those were good recommendations. We've been calling actually for those kinds of recommendations for a long time, and they should impanel their Genetic Resources Council, which has been on the deck for quite a while.
Okay, when we come back with Leon Hoods from the National Organic Coalition, we're going to ask the big question today, which was, can these two disparate forms of agriculture just get along? And it would seem to me like they can't, but maybe Leanna will convince us otherwise. Do stay tuned. Right back. Well, the USDA's advisory group, AC21, suggests that several things with respect to getting organic and biotech agriculture to just get along. They say that farmers should be able to grow what they want when they want it. They say farmers should insure themselves against contamination from other farmers' crops. They say that USDA and the industry that owns the genetic technology should abdicate themselves of any responsibility for contamination, and that the onus is entirely should be placed on farmers, which would be Ricochet and Michael Olson should be responsible for whatever happens. Is that about the extent of it, Leanna?
Yes. And we would propose that for there to be, quote, coexistence, that there must be a basic commitment to contamination prevention and to fairness, and that all parties that are involved must be must commit to pre-market safety testing of any additional genetically modified organisms, long-term health studies, consumer choice, and right to know. Transparency, commitment to diversity, a whole list of sustainability indicators that have to happen before any before we could say there must be coexistence or that coexistence exists.
And Leanna, what kind of odds would you place on industry, on the owners of the technology going along with your recommendations?
As in any long, hard fight, right now they may not be, but by citizens becoming aware and fighting for this in any manner, so the increasing attention to the labeling and increasing attention to what consumers have a choice in their food system, it will happen because we are, I do believe that we're a democracy and that we just need to fight harder at it. And I think we're seeing some chinks in that armor, and it's up to every single citizen to get involved in this. You don't have to get involved in AC21. Get involved in your own food choices. Make sure that you get involved with a right to know. There's the Just Label It campaign. There are lots of campaigns going on around consumer right to know, and as long as we increase those numbers, it is happening longer and harder, and the discussions are happening. This AC21 wouldn't have happened if there wasn't a pressure getting on both the biotech industry and USDA to talk about coexistence, quote coexistence. I hate that word because it's not being used fairly, but there wouldn't be that AC21 discussion if we weren't making some headway. And I say that the seven members from the organic community that were on this were right on top of.
So they were fighting hard. They didn't just roll over and assume the dead roach position simply because they lost Proposition 37, and they kept fighting.
Yes, and everyone needs to keep fighting along that. Call your congressman. I mean, the simplest thing to do, call your congressman and say, I want the right to know, and I don't want genetically engineered food, and you need to do something about it.
Thank you very much, Leanna Hoods from National Organic Coalition. Appreciate it. Thank you all for tuning in out there. We hope to see you next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on the Food Chain. And answer the question if you can. Can biotech GMOs just get along with organic agriculture? Do it at metroform.com. See you all next week for more What's Eating What Radio.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.